I'm Carol Hills in for Marco Werman, and this is The World. This week, President Obama's focus has been on how to counter violent extremism. And this has been one of his central themes.
The notion that the West is at war with Islam is an ugly lie. And all of us, regardless of our faith, have a responsibility to reject it.
That's from Obama's speech today at the White House Anti-Extremism Summit. The three-day meeting was aimed at looking beyond military intervention for other ways to stop extremist groups like ISIS. We're going to get two perspectives on this. In a few minutes, we'll hear from an anti-extremism activist in Britain. But first, we turn to Iraqi-American activist Zainab Al-Sawaj. She directs the American Islamic Congress, and she was among those attending the summit this week in Washington. Al-Sawaj says American Muslims are encountering radical recruiters in unlikely places.
We heard stories of young people that be recruited in college campuses, for example. The danger is in our backyard. The ideology that these extremists are spreading, they are using our system of, you know, freedom of press, freedom of speech, freedom of religion to spread their radical ideologies. And we should be aware of that.
But I know your organization, you created it in the wake of 9/11. I wonder if the approach or tactics have changed in terms of trying to pull people away or dissuade them from being radicalized in this era. We now have ISIS.
Look, no one wanted to acknowledge the issue of radicalism within the community. Now, after many years, after 13 years or so, people start realizing that, start realizing it's attacking us. We are first victim. Our kids, our youth have been affected by it. So why don't we start taking initiative?
Do you think U.S. officials are missing anything in their approach? I mean, what would you tell President Obama if you had his ear about the way to intercept young Americans from being drawn into these extremist ideologies?
The radical groups, the extremist groups, are setting the ground for these kind of recruitment through sermons, through online activities. I give you an example. A few weeks ago, I myself got an email in my Facebook from someone I don't know trying to recruit me to some of these things. Now, I'm an individual aware of the situation. There are many people are not aware of the situation. There are many people that they have, whether personal issues or social issues.
What did the message say?
The message said, I would encourage you to look at this link. And when I clicked on the link, it's for a radical imam preaching against the West and against America. And all Muslims should be united to fight against the Western world.
And do you know who sent it to you?
I know the guy who claimed that his name on Facebook, I don't know him personally.
Was it sort of subtle?
For someone who is vulnerable and not aware of the situation, yes.
There are Muslims in the U.S. who are very skeptical and worried about these kind of programs that the summit is addressing this week. I mean, there's an imam in a Minnesota Dahua Institute in St. Paul, and he says things like, you know, if my daughter made a decision to cover her face, she could be identified under a category that requires surveillance. How do you respond to something like that?
Look, I think this is nonsense. I'm covered. I've been here living here for over 24 years. You know, there's discrimination against Indian Americans or against African American or against, you know, these kind of things you find it in every community, not only targeted against Islam and Muslim. And we are here in a country that guarantee our freedom of religion. We have law that can protect us. We have rights in this country. We are not living in a country that these rights are not given. For example, this is not a case similar to France when they banned the headscarf or any of that. Our country is really different than many other countries when we are open and welcoming. And the country has been built based on immigrant and people. You see people in so many different shape and forms and so many different clothing that's, you know, sometimes make us look, sometimes question, sometimes, but this is the culture that we live in. It's multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religion.
Zainab Al-Sawaj attended this week's White House Summit on Violent Extremism. She directs the American Islamic Congress. Britain has its own long history of battling extremists, including the homegrown variety. It's been almost 10 years now since the 2005 terrorist bombings targeting London's public transportation network, the first in the country carried out by British-born or British-raised Islamic extremists. Haris Rafiq is managing director of the Quilliam Foundation, which aims to counter extremism. He describes how the British strategy developed after those bombings a decade ago.
It was designed really in two parts. The first part, which was the sharp end or the hard end of PREVENT, which really focused on providing interventions once somebody was identified as being a sympathiser or an empathiser or supporter of Al-Qaeda in those days or other Islamist extremist groups. The other part of the Preventing Violent Extremism strategy was the softer end of PREVENT, which was really a mechanism by which we could work with communities by countering the narratives, the social, the emotional conditions, so that when youngsters are faced with charismatic recruiters that would take them down to becoming violent or extremist, they would be able to push back. And then in 2010, it went through a review because clearly it wasn't working, and the name changed to PREVENT.
What went wrong with Britain's strategy?
Well, the initial strategy was called Preventing Violent Extremism, and a number of things went wrong. First of all, it just focused on interventions and providing disruption once people were identified as being extremists. What it didn't do was really focus on the wider part of preventing people from being radicalised in the first place. Secondly, another thing that the strategy did, which is something that we know is happening in the US as well, is that a number of partners from within the British Muslim community that happen to be what I would call non-violent extremists, people that hold the same views as groups like ISIL, such as anybody who changes their faith in an ideal Islamic State should be killed, anybody who, in an ideal Islamic State, who commits adultery should be stoned, etc., known as the Hadood punishments. These type of people, although it's not illegal to hold these views, were actually being used to try and de-radicalise the people who were violent. That simply didn't work, and it simply won't work anywhere else in the world as well.
So give me an example of how the new strategy is working.
Sure.
Very literally, how do you intercept or try to prevent a radicalization?
Well, the new strategy, first of all, is now no longer called Preventing Violent Extremism. And by the way, in the US, the current CVE strategy, the Countering Violent Extremism strategy, is a direct translation of our failed strategy. And I can talk about that a little bit more in a while.
Well, let's talk about that now, actually. What evidence do you see that suggests it's mimicking the first failed strategy in Britain?
Because word for word, it is nearly the same strategy as the first version. That's why. Basically, what happened in 2010, members who were working here from the US State Department in the UK decided to take that strategy over to the US and launch it. And of course, it was launched. And if you pick up the CVE strategy as per the one that was issued officially by the State Department and the White House, you'll see that nearly, word for word, 80 to 90% of it is the same.
If you had President Obama's ear, what would you tell him then specifically? What specific kind of programs are working in the UK?
Work with people who have been down these pathways themselves and have been former extremists, the former jihadis, and now have disavowed the whole ideology and theology to try and bring these people back. Some of the best results I've seen are from people who fit into this category. On the longer term scale, do not work with non-violent extremists, and I say this in inverted commas, people who hold the same views that these people, ISIL hold, that Al-Qaeda hold, that Boko Haram hold, just simply don't believe in their tactics. Do not use them to try to de-radicalise people who are violent, because it just doesn't work. And there is a lot of evidence to suggest that this is exactly what seems to be happening in the US.
Haris Rafiq is the managing director of the Quilliam Foundation, a think tank in Britain which aims to counter extremism. Thanks so much, Mr. Rafiq.
My pleasure.